His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to welcome you who are near and far, those who are close and yet hearing us on the airwaves. We welcome you, one and all, just the same. We're glad that you've joined us on the airwaves, and we're glad that you're here in the audience today. We welcome you to Spirit of Life. And I want you to know that you are blessed and highly favored today. We serve a most high God, and you can't get any higher than that. Come on and give the Lord a round of applause if he's been good to you. We also want you to know that we have an order of service, but the Holy Ghost is still boss. He can change the course of this service and move according to his will without prior notice. So beware. Be alert of him speaking to you and telling you to do something you perhaps never done before. Let him have his way and you'll be happy and everything will be all right. We want to welcome all of our listeners, and we want you to know that our web address is www.soulfellowship.com. Also, we have an email address. If you have any questions, you've been blessed by the service, please email us and we will receive it and respond as well. That address is support@soulfellowship.com. We love you today. We praise God for you. And it's no accident that you are listening to us at this time. God is going to bless you real good, and I'm sure of it because he's that kind of God, that he loves you right where you are, not because of what you do and don't do, but because of his love for you. God bless you on today as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, will you please? And as you're clapping, we're going to welcome the lovely Carla up to give all of you a welcome at this time.
Scripture is going to be taken from Proverbs 16:24. It's a really short one. Say amen when you have it. It says, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Amen. Let's welcome Brother Turple with the welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, soul.
Good morning.
You happy you're here today?
Yes.
God has served you well all week?
Yes.
Has he?
Yes.
All right. I would like for everybody to stand at this time. Everyone, children, adults, everyone, just please stand. I have five words that I want to share with you today, and I want you to shout them back to me when I ask you to. Everybody in the house today, including the band, say with the loudest voice you can, worship.
Worship.
All right, number two, say with the loudest voice you can, ministry.
Ministry.
Number three, say evangelism.
Evangelism.
Then say fellowship.
Fellowship.
Then say discipleship.
Discipleship.
Did you know your God put you on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve others, not to serve yourself, to serve everybody else? Brother, our prophet is with us today. He brought that out very clearly last night. Service.
Amen.
Jesus came to serve. All right. With those five thoughts in mind, Keith, you have just recited what your purpose on this planet is.
Amen.
To worship, to fellowship, to minister, to serve. Those are the things that we are put here for, not just to appease ourselves. All right. What we want you to do, you've been welcome as a corporate group of people. Now we want you to get out of your chairs, find somebody that you can welcome into God's house and into this service. Just go around and say, hi, how are you? God bless you. It's plenty enough. Thank you.
Somebody shout amen or oh me. Amen. Wow. What a great job, worship team. You rock. I want to take you traveling with me now. Praise the Lord. Let's do this. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. If you can stand up, let's just stand up, you know. We might have to break out. Can't stop praising his name. You know that song? Can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop. Come on. No. Let's everybody stretch. Come on, get a good stretch in. Amen. We're liable to get the preach anointing on us and be here for an hour and a half or so. Let's get a good stretch in. I think they deliberately made CDs only 80 minutes instead of 92 like the cassette to shorten the preaching down, you know. Get a good stretch. Come on, let's lift your hands to the Lord. If you love Jesus, how many are not ashamed to say, Jesus, I love you? Come on. Can you say it like you mean it? Jesus, I love you. Come on. Get a good stretch in. One more time. Jesus, I love you. Amen. They're going to break out. Yeah. All right. Y'all better, y'all can be seated. If they keep going like that, I'll get rid of Caucasian rhythmic disorder. Amen. White man can't dance. If you're listening in on by the internet, drop us an email and let us know that you're listening and that you're out there. The worship's pretty crazy down here. There's some people at this house that are crazy about Jesus. Huh? Come on. And there's some people in here that are just a little crazy about Jesus. Come on. Come on now. Open your Bibles. We got to hurry. Jesus is coming back soon. We got some stuff to do. Haggai. Haggai in the Old Testament. What a joy it is to be with you in Inglewood. We're over here on La Brea Avenue, next to the 7-Eleven, the old American Legion building. So if you're out there listening, come by. You know, I got to tell you a story about listening in one time. I was just north of Detroit, Michigan, several years ago, and it was a snowy Saturday morning, and we were having a special gathering to learn to hear the voice of God. How many want to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit in your own life, man? Three of you. Well, this takes a crowd. That makes sense. Two or three, we're all right. Well, it was a group of about 40 of us, and we were there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we were having some, you know, donuts and orange juice and things and coffee. And then I started sharing about 10 o'clock, and I was talking about how God speaks to us. We can hear his voice, 1 Kings 19:11. The still small voice. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the thunder and the lightning. It wasn't in all these supernatural phenomena that we think. But it was after all that what? The still small voice of God spoke. And I was telling them that we can also see what the Holy Spirit is showing us through pictures. And so I began to share that. And I said, it's like this. Like right now, I hear the Holy Spirit whispering that I'm about to touch someone's marriage in a supernatural way. The Holy Spirit saying, don't give up. Don't give up because help's on the way. And I said, now who's that for? I know that's for somebody in the room. Nobody raised their hand. But I was stuck there. God wouldn't let me go on. He said, say it again. I said, well, there's somebody, you can hear this. You can hear this now. And God's saying, it's your time. Don't give up. Help's on the way. Nobody made a move. I thought maybe some people are embarrassed to say, well, God zapped my husband. How many want God to zap your husband? I mean, don't raise your hand. It was the weirdest thing. So I went on and we talked about it and we began to talk about how to hear from God. About 30 minutes later, a guy walks in the back door of the building and he says, I'm that guy. And I said, what do you mean you're that guy? And he said, yeah, you just said about 30 minutes ago, don't give up, help's on the way. I'm going to touch your family. Your marriage isn't going to end in divorce. Don't give up. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, come up here, brother. What's the deal? He said, I was driving by in my truck, and my radio signal, my CB radio, picked up the wireless microphone when I drove by. And I'm just driving down the road, and I'm going, oh, God, you know, what's going on? I'm praying for my family, and all of a sudden, I hear your voice come over the radio. Bam. And so I said, so you've been driving for 30 minutes? He said, yeah, because I can only pick you up. So, and I didn't know there was a church back in there somewhere. See, there's a church in the middle of this little community of houses, and it looks like a house. It doesn't have a big steeple out front. It was a Pentecostal church. And so he's driving around through the neighborhood, and he dials into my voice, and I'm talking about hearing from God. And finally he says, he gets the signal stronger. He says, oh, it's got to be over in that building. He walks in and says, I'm the guy. I want to get right with Jesus. I want to see God heal my marriage. So you never know who's listening in. Huh? Now, I want to talk today. There's two things I want to ask you to start sharing with you today. Number one is, and I heard somebody teach, well, they just mentioned this statement a while back, a couple of months ago, and this resonated in my spirit. How do you measure how close you are to God? In your life, how do you measure how close? Write it down on a piece of paper if you're taking notes. How do I measure how close I am to God? How close am I? Is it how much I pray? How much I give? Don't give. Well, you better get nervous. We ain't done the offering yet. I'm going to mess with you today now. I'm going to, you know, when God starts talking money, he's really messing with you, isn't he? Come on now. How do you measure how close you are? It's how much you come to church. It's how much you do. An interesting question, isn't it? And the second question pertains to the first. And I taught a message about 3 weeks ago on this. If you were tried before a jury of people that knew nothing about Christianity, you were brought before a jury of people and you were accused of being a Christian, and there was a jury of people that didn't know anything about Christianity, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is there enough evidence of him in your life that a jury of unsaved people that don't know you could see him in you? How do you measure how close you are to him? Huh? Now, that shakes you, doesn't it? Because that gets you thinking beyond a Saturday Sabbath meeting, doesn't it? Come on now. Because people are looking today for what's real, what's genuine. A brother named Miles Monroe, he's on TBN some. He's out of the Caribbean down actually in Bahamas, Nassau. He's got a headquarters there. He's a great guy. His books are very practical. If you read anything from him, if you ever hear him teach, he's very practical. I've been reading a part of his book, Rediscovering the Mysteries of the Kingdom of God, Rediscovering the Kingdom. And it got my attention from the cover, but the introduction to his book starts like this. He says, the biggest threat to mankind in the world is not tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and floods. He says, the biggest threat to mankind is organized religion. Organized religion. But is it from but organized religion is man's way to try to tap into a relationship with the supreme being of all everything. Why? So that we can control our environment. Come on now. So that we can have all of our needs met, so we can take from that supreme being and exercise control over every part of our life so we don't hurt, so we don't have to be sick, so we don't have to suffer. But organized religion becomes all about us. All about what do I get? See, if you come into this church because you come here and you think, I want to come and hear some good preaching so I can make it through the week. Come next week, he's got a message for you. No. If you just come into this place because you want your ears tickled, or you think, I just can punch my card of being a Christian for the day, you know, for a few hours here. Choo-ching. You got organized religion. Why? Because you're looking to take from. Organized religion sets boundaries and puts requirements on you, and it gets a mindset that it's me taking from. What makes us different as Christians? It's not all about taking anything. It's all about receiving freely. Freely you receive. Come on. Some of you know the rest of it. Freely you've received. Bo, what do you do now? Freely you give. Huh? I met Bo just a little while. I saw him again just a little while ago. We got to pray to. See, that's totally different than any other form of religion out there. But then why is the world looking at us and doesn't see us as a threat to them in society any longer? You know why? They don't see us giving to society. They don't see us giving ourselves to make a difference outside the church. Hey, we have a hard time in here giving each other, huh? Come on now. That's an amazing thing you did this morning to call the saints that aren't here to say we miss you and we're praying for you. That's an awesome thing. I think at our church we'd have to have 100 cell phones probably, though. You know. Because what I want to talk to you about and what the Lord spoke to me for Spirit of Life Ministries is found in the book of Haggai, the second chapter. You there with me? And then we're going to look at this for a little while. And then I want to challenge you with those two questions. If you were standing in a courtroom and you've been charged with the crime of being a Christian, do you know that happened in the Bible? That most of these guys in the New Testament were prison ministers? They had prison ministries, didn't they? How about Apostle Paul? He had a prison ministry, didn't he? How about Peter? He had a prison ministry. How about John? Had a prison ministry, didn't he? So if you were standing before a jury of unsaved people, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you of the crime of Christianity? Huh? And how close are you to God? Okay. You got it? I know, man, that makes you think. That kind of gets you awake in here on a Saturday afternoon, doesn't it? Haggai chapter 2, we'll look at these, and we're going to help you through this process, and God's going to confirm some things to us. Verse 6, Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to talk about several different things here, and we're going to challenge your belief system in some area. How many say, Lord, will you change me? How many say, Lord, change me today? Come on. Haggai chapter 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more, and it's a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will, Haggai 2, 6, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. What's God's desire for all nations? To see his glory, to know his heart, to know he's Father. You see, the greatest thing that Jesus did for you folks was not just give you a card that you could get into heaven one day, but he gave you the way for you to have a relationship with Father God here now. Do you understand that? We worship Jesus for who he is because what he did was say, now you're not without a daddy any longer. You can have home. The way you measure how close you are to him is that are you at home in his love? You know, you just saw two babies dedicated here this morning. It was incredible. If you were listening in over the airways, it was awesome, man. Little Chris and Nicozy. Two baby boys dedicated, man. Incredible. You know what? They are secure in mama's and daddy's love. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not worried about getting fed. They're not worried about where they're going to sleep tonight. Huh? They're secure in mother's love and secure in daddy's love. How secure are you in the love of the Father? That's how you measure how close you are to him. Are you at home in daddy's house? Over the last few months, my wife and I have been back and forth from Virginia three or four times since February. It's 780 miles by car each way. We've flown a few times. We've driven it several times. She has a sister that's that's fighting for life, Marie. Can we just pray for Marie? Lord, we send, come on, agree with me. We send a healing word to Buchanan, Virginia, to a room in a house on Wheatland Road where my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live and call home, and we send life into that very bedroom where she's laying in that bed now. We curse at the root the spirit of cancer, the assignment of cancer in her body that's trying to flood stuff into her body that shouldn't be there. We command it. It's broken now. We speak life into that. We open the window, the door of heaven over that house, that your presence would come so strong in that room. And we cancel out every assignment of the enemy, every assignment of premature death, every assignment of sickness, disease, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, thank you. We've been back and forth, and we're both from the Western Virginia area, even though we live in Florida now. And as we go back and forth, we've been staying at my mother's house because it's about 25 minutes away, and it's a little. And with Josiah, with Linda, even though she's been there some, when I haven't been there, so she understands the mother-in-law deal. I don't understand the mother-in-law deal because I never got to meet her mom before we were married because she died when Linda was young, like 12, 13 years old, I believe. But she knows the in-law thing with my mom. And so we've been staying at my mother's house several days over the last few months. And so I was talking to my mom a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Mom, thank you for letting us stay here. And we'll give you money. She won't let us give her much money for groceries, for food. She loves to cook. My mom's 80 years old. And she lives by herself still. And she loves to, by herself. And she loves to have family around. You know what she said? You're my son. You're welcome in my house anytime. You don't even have to call first to tell me you're coming. Hey, the other day, we didn't call first. We showed up. 780 miles. We drove. We showed up at Mama's house. How many have a mama you can go to anytime? You can go to mama's house. You can go home anytime. Come on now. God wants you to be the same way with him. You're welcome in his presence. Don't let him visit you once a week when you can have all of him every day of the week, you see? I didn't call my mom because I figured she would go, well, I got to have everything ready. She likes to cook my favorite foods, you know, when I'm up there. She makes some cornbread and pinto beans and make your hair curl up, man. I'm talking putting some ham hock in it. And anybody? Just a bone. It's okay. I do okay, Bo. I got it. I'm all right. Just making sure. I don't want to provoke that. You know, back in the book of Matthew 23, Jesus said, I'm going to give to you, I'm going to send prophets to you, I'm going to send wise men to you and scribes. In other words, I'm sending help to you. I'm sending people that will reveal who I am and confirm who I am by the word. That's what the prophets are for, to reveal more of who he is in your life so you can get closer to him. And I'm going to give you wise men. My wife says, sometimes you act like a wise guy when it says wise men. There's a difference between a wise guy and wise men. I'm going to give you wise men. Matthew 23:34 says, wise men help us understand how to take the revelation that God brings to us by his spirit in the word and live it. You got a wise man right here. He wants all that God has. He's open to receive new revelation. He's going to prove it by the scriptures, and he's going to present it to you. It's what do you do with it that measures how close to God you are. Wise men. And then he says, I'm going to give you scribes. Scribes is interpretive teachers. Guys that can explain the truth to you. You need all three of those. Revelation. You need the understanding of that revelation and the foundation of the word to make them all work in your life, because God's a God of spirit and a God of truth and a God of his word. But it says over there in Matthew 23, and some you'll scourge in your synagogues. and you'll drive them out of your temple. See, organized religion doesn't want revelation of who Jesus is. You know why? Because organized religion, when you get revelation of who Jesus is, you've got to change. And organized religion doesn't want to change, because if leaders change in organized religion, you know what you're going to lose? Control. Come on. And so most pastors and churches and organized religion churches, whatever that fits, there's some Christian churches that way. They don't want to let you move into new truth. Why? You might leave. You might know more than they know. You might grow more than they grow. Because organized religion wants to maintain control. Fear-based. When Jesus came, he said, you'll know the truth, John 7:17, and the truth will do what? Make you free. Now, God's a God of organization. I'm going to show you that in a moment here. He's a God of order. He's a God of purpose. He's a God that gives you unconditional love so you can belong. Being a Christian means I go and I live a life secure in his love for me as a son, because all the creation's looking for the sons of God. Romans 8:19-21 says, and it gives me the security to walk in who I am, and I have to be what you think I should be. That's how I can wear an Hawaiian shirt on the Sabbath day, and you can't do anything about it, because you got to love me anyway, because that's what the Bible says. Come on. And besides, to know me is to love me, right? I mean, that's in the Bible too, but we want to be selective, you know. Well, I think I'll pick this part of the truth. We don't want some of that over there. It might mess me up. God's in the mess up business because he's transforming your life. He's renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the word till you're conformed into the image of who? What happens when you're conformed into the image of Jesus Christ? What do you think's going to happen? You're probably going to get raptured. I mean, no. That's what happened to Enoch and Elijah. The only two guys that didn't die to go to heaven, they just got swept up that we know of. Probably some more. I don't think God would have limited just to two. It's just the Bible doesn't contain them all. Being conformed into the image of Jesus means that people don't just see me on the Sabbath coming in and saying, happy Sabbath. They see me living it tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday, and everywhere I go, I'm an ambassador for him. Everywhere I go, I'm a miracle looking for a place to happen. I'm not an accident about to happen. I'm a miracle. I'm a sign and a wonder. Some people scratch their head and they wonder. No. Haggai, you still there? Let's read the rest of this. That's just my introduction. No. I'll shake the heaven and the earth, and the desire of all nations will come, and I'll fill this temple with glory. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts. What's he talking about? Where's the temple of God at today? It's in your heart. So he says, I'm going to shake the hell right out of you. Huh? You can say, well, brother, that's old covenant. That's old school. Well, look over in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the last few verses of that. He says, I'm going to shake everything, beginning with the church. He's talking about us again, the temple. And I'll fill this temple with glory. You know what that means? Others are going to see him in you. Huh? Isaiah 60, rise, shine. Verse 1, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness may cover the earth, and darkness cover the eyes of the people, but my light shining in you. The best way to get rid of the darkness is turn on the light. When you walk into a dark room, what's the best way to get the darkness to go? Flip on the light. What does that mean? You're a light. You're a beacon of light. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And look at verse 9. This is a mark in your Bible verse, okay? If you got a Bible you can't mark in, give it to your neighbor. Get them to mark it for you. Circle that verse. Borrow an ink pen, put an asterisk beside it, mark it so you can remember it. Put down April 29th beside it. 2006. Because this is a prophetic word for you, for spirit of life. And the glory of this latter house, temple, shall be greater than the former. Oh, know what that means? Know what we say down south? You ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen, my son's here in the second grade. We got to have correct English. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything. The glory of the latter house. You know what that means? The best is yet to come. Look at your neighbor and pinch them. Make sure they're awake. Tell them, get near. Tell them, get ready. We're going to have lunch in about 15 minutes. Come on, just tell them now. That'll get their attention, won't they? Wake up, it's about near time. Ain't nobody sleeping in here today. It says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I'll give what? Peace. Peace. You know why that's so important? Because the lost can find peace when they come into this house. They can find the light. They'll be drawn by the light and they'll have peace. So I want to talk just for a minute. If he says the former and the latter, how many know we better look at a few of those things and talk about the former for a moment? Because you can't put new wine in what? Wineskins. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. It'll rip that wineskin. So we're going to check out what kind of wineskin you got today. How close are you to God? How much are you willing to change to be more like him? Can we talk about that? We got to, because I got the microphone. Hallelujah. Number one, we think that being a Christian is what happens when I come to church. The latter house is being a believer is how I choose to live. I'm thinking kingdom of God now. I'm not thinking people in a building. And I'm not thinking that my walk as a Christian is limited to what I come to Sabbath meeting for, because then I can feel good about myself and go do whatever the hell I want to during the week. Come on. Now, I guarantee you, there's a few of you, but not very many in this room that want to just go out and raise a little hell this week. Come on. Unless you just want to get the devil and kick him in the head, like my brother back here, he likes to give the devil fits. This guy in the back, oh, brother, man, you are a transformer guy, man. So not too many of us are sitting here going, how could I really screw up my life this week? But how many have made a few mistakes after you've gotten saved? Anybody besides me? What does that make you, a hypocrite? Or a hypocrite? Makes you an immature believer, a work in progress. I keep telling my wife, I'm a work in progress. She said, it will sure be good to see some progress. No. I got to be careful. She's here to defend herself today now. She's like Paul Harvey. I'll tell you the rest of the story. Former churchianity. All I do is I come in here and I sit in a chair and I hear a message, but I never do anything to make a difference. Come on now. I'm getting on somebody's religious toes right here. The latter house is we're a family, man. We're thinking beyond the walls. Former houses, the pastor has to do everything. He's responsible for getting the baptistry put in. He's responsible to make sure this thing's painted. Oh, he may get Bill to help him. Bill does a great job probably. You still doing this stuff here, brother? Come on now. I'm getting on somebody's toes. I'm meddling. That prophetic will get to meddling in your personal business now. See? The pastor's responsible for doing everything. He has to do all the preaching. He does all the teaching. He does all the leading. He does all the organizational stuff. Latter is we're family. Come on now. We're going to break out of the mold that there's congregation and pastors, and pastors are the full-time ones, and all we do is sit out here and listen. When the new order, the latter house is we're all responsible for the house of the Lord. Come on now. So we don't have spring cleaning days every 3 or 4 months. We're going to come up to him at the end of this meeting to say, what do you need me to do this week to get this thing further down the road? And you might say, oh, well, I'm working 60 hours. That means you got a bunch of money you can put in here if you're working 60 hours now. Come on. There's some of you, you can figure out, well, I don't have the time to come here. I understand that. I'm very busy. But I got the resources, man. You know what that means? I can give the money so we can hire somebody to get this thing done. There's some of you sitting now, out here now. You could put thousands of dollars, and some of you already have, by the way, and the Lord's seen that, and he's very proud of you. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for what he's done to get this building? Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on now. But there's some of you sitting here now and you haven't done enough. Hello? That's the prophetic voice of God speaking to you. Ask not what this church does for you, but what am I doing for him? And him isn't the man on the front row. It's the big guy. It's Daddy in heaven. What am I doing for him so that others see him in me? See, if we only do it in this room even, you know what we're being? Religious. Does anybody out there know who Spirit of Life Adventist is? They see a sign. Do they really know that they can come in here and receive unconditional love, and you won't judge them if they don't dress like you? You won't judge them for what they eat? You won't judge them because they're living a life of sin? You're going to set them free by love. Huh? So they can find home. See, the old order is, the former is, you can't be with us till you believe like us. The latter house, the glory of the latter is greater than means we all belong because we all are God's children. And so we, in the love that we've experienced through the blood of Jesus Christ, can help you belong with us. So we don't allow these little differences in how we look at things be division. We let love cover. Huh? You with me? You with me? Former house. I wrote down several things here. I knew it was God because I wrote it during the worship today. Former houses, we have members. We have people that say, I go down to Spirit. Some folks that come to Spirit of Life, but they only show up about every 2 months, but that's their church. Oh, when I get guilty, I'll come down. When I get in a mess, I'll come and ask you to help me out. Come on now. My brother knows. He's sitting back there. He's taking notes, man. He's taking names. I mean, no, he's taking notes. Former is, I can choose whatever part I want to be of Spirit of Life. The latter is, I, as a member of the family of Spirit of Life, have family responsibilities or chores. Huh? Are you with me? Family values. Huh? I'm not talking about the movie The Addams Family Values either a few years ago. Family values. There's mother and father. Because, see, old order is pastor. New order is leader. Huh? Mom and dad. So that makes we're a family of believers. And in every family, there's responsibilities. Hey, the older children have more responsibility than the other children. You know why? The older children are modeling it for the younger children. Think about it. Why aren't the younger children impressed with the God that we serve? Why are they dropping out of church when they're old enough to make their own choices? Anybody had any kids do that? Huh? Why do they do that? They're not impressed with the God you're serving. You know why that is? They don't see you living the walk. You talk the talk. That's the former. The latter is you walk the walk. Are you with me today? I'm just preparing the ground for next week. He said he's got a hard word. I'm helping you, brother. I'm setting the plow. You know why? Do you have his testimony when you're in the 7-Eleven? Boy, that's a place of darkness right there, isn't it? Come on now. I mean, we're sitting there. I can't believe. I mean, it's neat. Some of you need to take the mission of the 7-Eleven. I mean, half joking, half serious. Former is, I worship one day a week, maybe two. I may come out to the midweek if there's something happening. Latter is, my life is worship. I live a life of gratefulness and thankfulness for who he is. And I have a family. I have a daddy that believes in me, that no matter when you don't believe in me, and no matter when the world's turning against me, and no matter when there's nowhere, that no person in here believes in me, daddy still loves me. Mama, God. Oh, you done messed up, brother, calling God a mama. Well, think of Matthew 23. Jesus said, well, Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everybody with me there? Matthew 23, right after he says you're going to persecute the prophets and the teachers and the wise guys, the wise men. He says you're going to kill them off. You're going to take them before city governments. You're going to try to get political with them. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Matthew 23, how I long to gather you as a mother would gather her, as a mother hen would gather her chicks to her bosom. And you wouldn't let me. Your religiosity wouldn't let me because I didn't meet your expectations as a Savior. I didn't do it the way that you thought I should do it. I didn't do it the way that you thought it should be. I didn't fulfill the word the way that you thought it should be. But oh, how I long to gather you as a mama would hold her baby close. I looked at Pastor Cassie last night. She was holding that little baby. She's holding that little baby close. She wasn't that baby's natural mama, but that baby was getting comforted being in mama's arms. Look at her now. She's got that. Is that Nicosia? Look at that. Mama, you know what? You don't see a real awe. You see it sometimes. When a father's secure and he loves his son, you can see what's happening with her right now. But you know what? I don't even know if you related to this crowd. You probably were because you was up here. And look at this. Grandma, there we go. Come on now. Grandma, fight you for that little guy. He's an awesome little guy. Look at him. He's at rest on mama's chest. You know why? Security. You need that security from Jesus. You don't just see him as dad that says, son, don't do this, do this. Because dads give you discipline, identity. Dads give you courage. Mamas give you great. And dads give you a measure of security. When daddy's away, you know, things aren't the same. I know that from traveling as a traveling minister. But mamas give unconditional love. And when that little guy's diaper needs changing, who's probably going to change it? When that baby needs feeding, who's probably going to feed it? Now, dad, don't cop out. That's called team ministry. But look at the little guy now, laying on a mama's chest, grandma's chest, and he doesn't have a care. Let me tell you, he's not worried about tomorrow. He's not worried when he wakes up if he's going to get to eat. He's secure. That's what Jesus is saying. The world's full of insecure people. This room's got insecure people sitting in it right now. How do I know? You won't take a risk to let your light shine for him. That's how I know you're insecure, fearful. Well, what gets rid of fear? I mean, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 6, stir up the gift of God within you, for God hasn't given you the spirit of what? But what? Power, love, and 1 John chapter 4, perfect love does what? Cast out all fear. Yeah, love. Cast out fear, man. Cassie's holding that little guy last night, just chilling. And Cassie's chilling, holding him, just chilling. I'm thinking, that mama thing looked good on you, girl. Oh, let's don't go there. You know, she said, I love this couple. They're awesome, man. You got an awesome team. You ought to honor them. See, old order, well, the pastor's just our pastor. And he does everything for us. New order is their mom and dad, and we honor and respect them. And we listen to a greater measure. Because, see, you got to do what mama and daddy say no matter what. Even if you don't like it, you got to eat your spinach. Just ask Popeye. And in this family of God, you've got responsibilities to do. So if you're not doing something in this church, and you're a member here, and you call this church home to make a difference, you're out of order. Hello. We all want the titles. I want to be head deacon, deaconess. I want to be the worship person. You didn't give me a title. You got a title. You know what it is? Children of God. I didn't give my daughters. I got four of them, three of them. I got four children. My oldest is 27. We gave her the name Andrea. We didn't give her the title of firstborn. She inherited that. When we had Larissa, our second baby, it was so cool. Andrea didn't like it. She got a little bit, you know, she was 2.5 years old, you know. Now I got to share, you know. We took her to the nursery at the hospital, you know. I don't know how they do it now. If you go to the pediatric where the babies are, can you look through the windows and see all the babies in the, do they still do that at the hospital? I haven't been to the hospital's interesting places. That's where there's death, but there's also where there's life. But everybody wants to go to the hospital and go see the babies. They want to see the new life, don't they? When we go and look through the window, and Linda is in the, Linda, I don't know if she was with me. Were you with me when we looked through there? And we said, Andrea, which one do you think's your little sister? We're going to take one of these home with us. She points to the black baby and says, I want to take that one home. That was so cool. And then, you know, a little while ago, in 99, we did foster care. And guess what we did? Newborn babies that were biracial. We had a little guy. We got him at, 12 days old? 16 days old. His name is Christian. Biracial. Crack cocaine addict baby. Loved him for 4 months, man. Had to give him back to grandma. Oh, but oh, what a love. We get six, and we inherited the seventh. What a love. So Andrea, Larissa's 24. She'll be 25 May the 12th, single. You got to go through the cone of mom and dad. Our 22-year-old, Kylene, I was just talking to her on the phone a little while ago. She lives with us at home and studying to get her bachelor's degree in education. They got a different name for it. She's going to teach high school history. Loves children. She's the great. She was the youngest sister for, 14 years? Before this little guy came along that we prayed in, and my wife labored over for 15 years. That was a labor. We pressed into that. 35,000 prayers at least were prayed for this little guy. And look what we got. We got the best. I'm sorry. Some of you got sons. We got the best because he's the one God had for us. You got the best because you got the one God had for you. In our house, different responsibilities. We all work together as a team or it doesn't work. What are you doing in here as family? What are you bringing to this house besides maybe dropping a tip in the offering on a Sabbath? There's some of you sitting here, folks, you're not even giving God the 10% you should be giving him. Hello? Do y'all believe in tithing in this house? Come on now. Half of you do. No, I mean, it's good. I had a pastor one time. He says, I'm a book checker. He ran his church so religious. I control everything. I check the books. And you know, God doesn't want to make you give. He wants you to give. How many are glad he gave to you? When you deserved hell, he gave you heaven. Huh? Come on. So see, the latter is we're a family. And when people come in here, do we have any visitors here today with us that don't come around? I'm sure we do. Wave your hand if you're a visitor with us. Oh, bless you. Here we go now. We're all about family here. That's why they let this old white boy from Florida come in. We're family. You can find the love of the Father in this house. You don't just find religion in this house. You can find love. Find your purpose. Know why he puts you here, to be the devil's worst nightmare. But the old order is, well, we just have an order of service, and we have three fast songs, and we maybe do a hymn, two slow songs. We have all these announcements, and we say goodbye, see you next week. When the family says no, there's something we got to do tomorrow. Somebody's got to help straighten up the room. Somebody's got to work with the children. Somebody's going to have to cook lunch. This church has lunch after every meeting, don't you? That's a biblical thing. You know, that's in the Bible. This feast, I mean, that feast was a biblical thing. And it's getting about done. We'll have to hurry because we don't want food for the gods, a burnt sacrifice. You've offered that before, huh? No? Okay, we won't start today. I was in a church one time, Brother Bill, in Jacksonville, and I was talking to the pastors, and the Holy Ghost was moving. I said, now the Holy Ghost is moving. Know if that means if you got dinner in the oven, it may be a burnt sacrifice. The pastor's wife runs out of the room. I thought, oh, my goodness. The pastor's wife. I thought she had to go to the bathroom. I didn't know she was running home because she was making lasagna for all of us, and it burnt. And she was so apologetic. I thought, man, it was the best lasagna. I like that, you know, that little charcoal on there, you know. It just adds a little bit of, that's good for your system, too, you know, I figured. I told her, I felt like a god. You're offering me a burnt sacrifice. You're honoring me. Oh. Let's finish this. Old order, church, is we worship weekly. New order is we live it daily. Old order is the pastor and two or three people, maybe the core group of 5 or 10 do everything. Do 90%, and 90% of the people do nothing. New order is each of us know we have a purpose and a ministry and a destiny. The seed of greatness is in each of us. Look at your neighbor and say, the seed of greatness rests in you. Mm-hmm. Say it like you really mean it, like you believe it. Look somebody in the eye. The seed of greatness rests in you. Now, what are you going to do with that seed? Come on. What are you going to do with that seed? You're going to plant it somewhere? Or are you just going to keep that thing? Oh, I got a mustard seed. The Bible says if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, Jesus says you can say to your mountains, be moved, and they'll be moved. Oh, hold out your hand. Come on. Hold out your hand. Say, Lord, give me that mustard seed. Come on. Say it like you mean it. Lord, give me that mustard seed. Now grab on to it. Now, what are you going to do with it? You're just going to hold it in your hand and say, look what I got. Isn't it so cool? I got a mustard seed. Are you going to plant it? What are you talking about, brother? Are you going to whip out one of them faith messages and take up an offering? No, because the old order is we try to raise money. The new order is our life is our offering. Come on now. You hear me today? See, the old order is I can come in and I occasionally give an offering or tithe. New order is my life is my offering. My life, everything I do gives glory and honor to Him. Old order is I don't volunteer for anything. New order is Dad tells me what needs to be done. Oh, it got quiet in here, didn't it? Dad doesn't go around and give me titles. He says, you're the children. We're a family of believers. Let's get involved. Let's work together. Huh? But see, that old order is, I don't have to do anything. I can slip in here. I can leave early. I can come and work. No, new order is, we work together as a team. Many hands make light work. This week, how many will give this couple permission to call you except on Wednesday? It's a little inside joke we got going. It's a little inside thing. And say, hey, can you help us out? We got to give some folks to do visitation, pray for the sick. See, there's miracles in you, man. See people healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. See people rededicate their lives to Jesus. See people get saved. Not because the pastor preaches a message. You are the message. Do you know that? If the seed of greatness is in you by His word, you're the gift to your world of love. But a lot of you never plant your seed. You can't get a harvest if you don't plant your seed. And you wonder why your family's going through hell. And you wonder why your breakthrough hasn't come. What have you done with your mustard seed? What have you done with it? What have you done to give yourself to the work of the Lord to cause His place to be finished so that His light can shine on it? Huh? We're not talking about just finishing a building. God's going to fill the building, folks, when He's finished. It says here, the glory of the latter house is greater than the former. We just got to let go of some of the former stuff to get the latter. Huh? Traditions. that hold back people. Plant your mustard seed. Find home. Don't be a wilderness wanderer. Wander through life aimlessly, trying to figure it out, hit and miss. Have some successes, have some failures. You're here to make a great difference. Look at your neighbor and say, you're here to make a difference. Say it like you really mean it. You're here to make a difference. Okay. And find where you belong in His love. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. We're going to do something different today. Hallelujah. Because I feel there's some of you today here, you never have made a quality decision to say, Jesus, you're my everything. Maybe you just prayed a prayer one time, but you haven't begun to enter in to try to walk the walk. And the Lord says, today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to cross over from the latter, from the former to the latter. And I know there's like four or five of you here, the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart today. He says, I stand at the door and knock. I don't kick it down. I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in to a level of sonship, father, son? Will you let me take away the hurts in your lives, the averageness of your life, so you could be supernatural? Will you let me in? If that's you, just lift your hand today. Don't leave here the same way you came. Don't leave here empty. Don't leave here without that. I'm not talking about going to heaven one day. I'm talking about making a quality choice to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you here so your light can be seen through me. I want to be a difference maker. I want you to take over my life. I want to give it to you freely. If that's you, lift your hand high. I want to pray for you. Yes, I see that. I see that. I want some of the leaders. Could you come? My brother back in the back corner, could you come too? If you're the core group in this house, I want you to come to the front. Yeah, bring the tape over. Stand with me just for a moment, and let's pray for your leaders. Everybody stretch. How many love this couple? Aren't they incredible? They give it. Come on now. You see, in the former house, there's struggles, and sometimes there's lack. But in the latter house, the gold and the silver are yours. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's about to open prosperity on you. How many are ready for prosperity to be opened up on you? I'm talking about, come on, I'm serious now. I'm talking about some serious God transferring some wealth over you because He knows you'll use it for His glory. Father, I thank you for this couple today. And the Lord says, son and daughter, I'm so proud of you. You don't just earn a survival badge, the Lord says, over these last 3 to 4 years. He says, today I'm giving you a badge of courage and confidence and honor and respect. And I'm transferring you from the preaching and prophesying and teaching division only to expanding you to be father and mother, to lead and to cause a new grace and a new respect and a new honor to come over you and a new confidence. He says, son and daughter, you didn't miss me. Even in connecting together, my grace is over you. My hand is upon you. And I am lifting you up. And I am affirming you this day. You're the ones I chose. And you're going to find that there's a great family of believers behind you that want to. And you're going to lead with a new fervor, with a new passion, with a new zeal. And where you felt some confusion and you felt like, well, I've been pulled this way and we've been pulled that way. The Lord says, I'm loosing that confusion from you today. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you structure. I'm going to give you organizational ability. It helps on the way, the Lord says, and you're going to find you're going to hit your stride. Yes. You know, like you, when you really begin, it's not you're striving, but you're hitting your stride. It's like when a runner takes off, they accelerate. And in a long race, you get a good stride, and you go faster, and you use less energy. But the Lord says you're going to do more with less. You're going to work. You're not going to work harder. You're going to work smarter, and you're going to get more results with less effort, the Lord says. And the Lord says your marriage isn't going to be a casualty of ministry. It's going to be a springboard of life and an example to others, and you're going to be a light that will show that. The Lord says this is a crossover season for you, son and daughter, that this is your time, and the glory of the latter house is greater than the former. And the Lord says this building's going to get finished quickly. The The Lord says, I've got resources. I'm going to speak to some people. I'm going to speak to some in the congregation and some in the community to sow, to give money. Even some are going to come and they're going to give their time. Some professional people are going to come and say, you know, we're supposed to help you, brother and sister. So here, we're going to donate our time. We're going to give you our expertise. We're going to give you our lives. And the Lord says, there's some in this room that are going to drop thousands of dollars into your hands to get this to the next level. So rejoice. The Lord says, I confirm and affirm you this day. And there's no more doubt in your heart about my purpose and plan, because the Lord says, I'm going to make it clear. You're bringing my people to a place of new beginnings and new life in me by my spirit. And the Lord says that you're going to begin to see miracles in families. Hallelujah. In this room. Hallelujah. You're going to see prodigal children come home in the families of this house, because the Lord says that anointing rests over you. And the Lord says to the people of this congregation, lift up your hands, because the Lord says, I'm about to do a new thing in you as a family of believers. And some of you even this week are going to call the office and say, I want to step in. I want to become more involved. I want to commit. I'm not looking for position. I'm looking for relationship. Because the Lord says, in the old, it's all position. In the new, it's all about relationship. And the Lord says, together we can make a difference. And the Lord says, you're going to be difference makers in the community as a group of people. The Lord says, Spirit of Life is going to be recognized. It's going to be recognized as a place of hope, a place of belonging, a place of love, a place of acceptance. And the Lord says, I'm going to visit the men in this house, and they're going to answer the call. And the Lord says, I'm going to raise them up to be mighty warriors. And the Lord says that there's going to be a new fervor of intercession that's going to come forth. So the Lord says, get ready for quite an adventure, son and daughter. I'm with you. I believe in you. And I affirm you, says the Lord.
I saw was is that the old church and things had been like put on the potter's wheel again, and as it was put on the potter's wheel again, it was like it was broken but being reformed. And I saw as it was being reformed, it was actually going to have a new purpose. I just saw, you know, like when you reform the pottery, you know you heat it again and you begin to add the mixtures to it that you begin to get it ready for use again, and then you refire it another time, and then you take it back out, and then you put on that final sealant, you know, that causes it to be able to hold water. And I felt like the Lord said that you'd been in that process, and you felt the brokenness, you felt the thing spinning off and spinning around, and you felt the crushing, and it's like there's a re-impressing of to even reform it, and the desire that God would have it. And I felt like the Lord says that in this last season, that's what you've been through, but he's preparing you. You've gone through this firing, but it's in preparation for the next serving that the God wants to do. And I felt like that there had been a ripping of the wineskin. The Lord says there's no way you can go back and put the new wine in the old wineskin. It can't carry it. And so there's no way to turn back to that place. And I felt like the Lord says, as you go in this next season, you'll find his grace will be sufficient to do all that he's called you to do. And the Lord says his strength is upon you. And the Lord says, I will anoint you for good, and I will anoint you to prosper. The Lord says, I will cause you to carry my word, but you'll be carriers with the light of my word. And the Lord says, the light's going to shine into the darkness and into the dark places, even in this region, in this area that is around this, that surrounds this church area now. And the Lord says, I'm beginning to cause the new plan to begin to come forth. It's always been in the heart and the mind of God, but it's like you're beginning to see the revelation of the plan that God has, and to see it to begin to unfold. And it's just like, you know, when you unfold a map, you can only see a portion. But when you sold the next fold and the next fold and the next, you can see how the states connect together. And I felt like the Lord says, you're going to see how my plan is working together as it begins to unfold before you. But the Lord says to trust me for your daily provision. But trust me, because I want to add to you riches that add no sorrow. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring it in this next time. But the Lord says, in doing that, I have been remaking the the structure of the house. I've been restudying the foundation. The Lord said, I've been remaking the foundation of the people of this house and beginning to relay it once again. And he says, I'm going to cause you to begin to frame things up. And as you begin to frame things, you're going to frame it using my word. The Lord says, just as I have spoken the thing and caused it to come into existence, I'm requiring that you begin to speak in and begin to speak my word and begin to see the walls begin to form, and you begin to see the structure come into place. And the Lord says, I will cause you to be ready at the time that you need to be ready for my people to begin to inflood this place with my presence. And I'm releasing my glory even in this house this day. And the Lord says, I'm pulling out a few, I just kind of see like down where we are, you step in sand burrs, you know, when you step on the sand, and it's at times, and I felt like the Lord said he has taken out some sand burrs still, and that there were some things that has caused, you know, it's painful to walk. When you have a sand burr, you have to stop and pull it out. And I felt like the Lord says there's a few sand burrs in the feet of individuals that he's pulling out even in this season. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. And, Lord, we bless you, Lord, that this is a new day and a new hour, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you that you are the God of the impossible, Lord. And that, Lord, that this time span, Lord, is important in you, Lord. Lord, it hasn't been too late, Lord. It has been on time in your plans, Father God. And, Lord, I thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come on, let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Shout amen. Come on. Now, don't go anywhere. Stay with us just for a moment. We're going to put a song on and bring that up pretty loud, and I'll help lead it a little bit. Your ladder will be greater than your past. Could you put it up pretty loud? Yeah.
It has been done.
The best is yet to come. Come on, listen to it.
Is yet to come. And your ladder will be greater.
Come on. Your ladder will be greater. Come on, just speak it out. You got to prophesy. You got to declare it over your life.
Will be greater than the rest. Tell somebody tonight your ladder will.
Your ladder will be greater than your past. Come on. You will be blessed more than you can ask.
You will be blessed
more than you can ask.
More than you can.
You got to say it out of your mouth. You don't have to sing.
All that has been done.
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
And your ladder will be.
Your ladder will be greater.
Come on, you got to sing it.
Your ladder will be greater.
Come on, you got to sing it.
Your ladder will be greater than
the rest. All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Come on, you gotta just declare it. They are
possible.
Doesn't matter what you're in.
It's possible.
It's possible.
All things are possible.
Society doesn't want you to break out. Possible. Religion doesn't want you to be free. How many want to see something ahead that's great in your life? Come on. You got to declare it. You got to prophesy. That's who you are.
All things are possible.
It doesn't matter what you're walking in.
It's possible.
Faith can change anything.
Possible.
For you.
Possible.
All things are possible. How many got some impossibilities in your life? Come on. With God, all things are possible. You got to get with Him.
Possible.
For you.
Possible. And your ladder will be greater.
Your ladder will be greater.
Your ladder will be greater.
Put your hand on yourself. Say, my ladder will be greater.
My ladder will be greater.
My ladder will be greater.
Your ladder will be greater.
Come on.
Your ladder.
Your ladder will be greater. Come on, there's something great ahead.
Your ladder will be greater.
Your ladder will be greater. Come on.
Your ladder will be greater than the rest.
the CD up louder. Can you bring the music up a little bit more? I want you to listen to this prayer. Listen to this word.
Lift up your hands all over this building.
Listen to what he's saying.
And receive the word of the Lord.
What he's saying.
You may have come through some situations and circumstances. Look at me for 1 minute. How many of you know that the Bible declares that the end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing? God knows the end from the beginning.
He knows.
And God promises that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. I just want to take a moment right here and minister to those of you that have been through something and the enemy has lied to you and told you that the best is behind you. I've come to call the devil a lie and say that your best is in front of you.
Come on.
That your ladder will be greater. That you haven't seen anything yet. Your best days and your blessed days, they are ahead of you. That your problems don't equal your promises. The devil's no cannot compete with God's yes. Say the best is yet.
The best is yet to come. Come on, you gotta sing it. The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
The best. Come on, we're getting free in here. Come on. The best is yet to come.
Oh, the best is yet to come.
Now sing our best.
See, when you sing it, it gets in your heart. Our
best is yet to come.
Our best.
Our best is yet to come.
Come on, our best.
The king is soon to come.
Oh,
the king is soon to come.
Lift up
your voice.
Oh,
the king is soon to come.
Oh, we lift up our hands. We love you, Jesus.
The king is soon to come.
You're coming back for us.
The king is soon to come. Oh, the king is soon.
Come on, say it again. The king.
Love you, Jesus.
The king is soon to come.
It's all about you, Lord.
Oh, the king is soon to come.
Yes, we worship you.
Somebody lift up a shout.
We love you, Lord. Now,
lift up a shout.
I want you to do one thing here. You can keep playing that in the background. That's fine. Join hands. Stand up one more time. I know we've been up and down like a roller coaster today, huh? Join hands with somebody. Join hands with a person beside you. This is family. You're holding on to your brother or sister. You're holding on to the family of God. Smile at them. That might be your neighbor for eternity. They might be on the cloud next to you in heaven. Oh, he says, no way. Now, I want you to lift that person's hand that you're holding. And all I want you to do is just intercede for them just for a moment. You can pray for them. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless the one on each side of me. Cause us to be connected in family relationship. Lord, I'm coming to give myself to my brother or sister. I'm coming to help them. I'm coming to help. I'm coming to help. I'm not coming to take away from this house. I'm coming to give to the kingdom of God today. I give my life, Father. Bless that one on each side of me now, in Jesus' name. Now lift our hand. Let go of their hands again. There's some other things that God wants to do, but I don't want to break protocol in the house. But there's some people here. The Lord really, he says in Acts chapter 1, he says, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, you're going to be empowered on high. It's not about being able to go around and go, shut up, I cut out of praying. It's about being empowered that your light can shine. It's different than getting saved. It's being filled with the Spirit of God. According to the brothers that were in the book of Acts, God's the same today and yesterday and forever, and he's here today to fill some people with his Spirit. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive that in just a little while, we'll have a way. You just make your way to the front. We have a team here that'll pray with you to receive that. You're going, whoa, you're messing with me, brother. Well, you just signed on for the latter day. Hey, the latter day church is a demonstration church that's making him real. The latter day church is not the pastor have to pray into the sick. It's you laying on the hands on the sick and seeing them healed. The latter day is not the pastor doing all the teaching and preaching and prophesying. It's you turning around and speaking life to your neighbor. See? Come on now. Lay your hands on your head for a minute. Say, Lord, break every mindset
Lord, break every
I've had about you and about me and who we are. Okay. So there's some folks here. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord wants to fill you with His Spirit today. It's a free gift, but it empowers you. It says in Acts chapter 1, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to testify me in Jerusalem. And that's in where your hometown is, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. You're going to be a wonder to those around, not because you can pray in the Spirit, but you can walk in confidence in your God and demonstrate His power and love in a greater way. Amen. So if there's some of you that want to come and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a few minutes, we're going to do that. And listen, I heard the Lord say to tell you this. He's very proud of you. Can you give yourself a pat on the back if you're a part of this church? Come on. That's a pat from the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm proud. You have come so far in 5 years. It's pretty amazing. That's how I know the best is yet to come. I know it, man. You're getting free. See, religion, traditions want to hold you back, but the Lord says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom! Freedom in the house. Freedom in the house. Amen. So if you want to receive further ministry here, Brother Bill's going to come, and there's some other things we got to do. We got to relieve you of some pressure. You know what? We got to, listen, I want to tell you, we invest in the kingdom of God financially. This is a day of great investment for you. I'm telling you, if you plant some seed of finance in a minute here in this house, for the work in this house, the Lord's going to open a floodgate over you. You're going to get a bumper crop. Because when you plant seed today financially, what you're saying is, I believe in what the prophetic word of God says, that this latter house day, this latter day church, this latter house church, I'm going to plant seed, because where your treasure is where your heart is, and I'm going to reap a hundredfold return. How many ready for a hundredfold in your life? Amen. I'm talking about your family walking in purpose. I'm talking about you having no lack. I'm talking about you having more than enough. How many are ready for the more than enough in your life? Amen. He's going to come and show you how to do that. Look at your neighbor and say, it's more than enough day.
More than enough day.
And tell him, get ready for dinner. No. So listen, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to let Brother Bill come and share with you how to plant seed in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about Bill and Linda. I'm talking about Spirit of Life going to the next level. Then if anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit at the end of this meeting, if you'll just come to the front, there'll be a ministry team here. My wife and I will be hanging out for a while after this. We can pray with you maybe some too. But we're going to dismiss some of you. I ain't been in church in this long in a long time, I know. I can feel that. And so we don't want you to think every meeting is this crazy. Sometimes it's even crazier. But Brother Bill, come and share with us how we can participate in Spirit of Life through our giving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 We want to thank God for everything that He shared. We're going to receive an offering at this time. And